Welcome back to Left of Normal with Scott Seary. In the last two episodes, we laid the groundwork as to what it means to be left of normal. I explained how I view the spectrum and how I feel people fall on that spectrum. Then, the next episode, I elaborated on the quadrant system that includes introverts and extroverts. Now, there's a little more groundwork that I'll weave into the stories along the way, but for now, I want to start going through some situations that I've encountered throughout my lifetime and how being left of normal has affected each and every situation. Now, the biggest problem, I guess, comes that I had no idea why I was weird until I was around 30 years old. That means from my earliest memories all through grade school, high school, college, early working career, marriage, and all the way up until my son was born, I was just kind of winging it on what I thought was the best way for me to function, act, and interact. Finally, when I discovered that I'm not alone in this, when there was an actual reason why my brain works differently than the normies, I could start to make sense of the world around me and why things didn't just come naturally to me. Just a little bit of an aside here, I prefer the term normies. I feel it's slightly condescending, and that's why I like it. I've felt condescension from normies my entire life, so it's like a little jab back at them. If you're interested in the real terminology, it's neurotypical or NT. Those left of normal are considered on the spectrum autistic, or the now defunct terms Asperger's, Aspie, Asperguy, Asperkid, etc., etc., and so on and so forth. As far as I know, there's no term for those that land right of normal. So let's start from one of the beginning instances. I was born at a really young age. My first memories, like most people, started around 4 or 5 years old and really didn't solidify until 7 or 8. And at that age is when I started to notice that my interactions with most normies wasn't met with the same whimsy that I feel it was before. About age 8-ish, is around that age that normies realized I was different and not the wild, slightly obnoxious, silly, speak whatever the hell is on my mind kid. It's here that things started to get hard, and that no matter what I tried, I didn't understand why I was looked at differently and cast aside and ultimately teased. Now, one of my goals with this podcast and the community Left of Normal, which you can find on Facebook so you can grow, learn, and understand yourself and society better, is to break me even farther out of my comfort zone. Not for the sake of being outside of it, because my bubble is warm and nice and I really don't want to leave it. No, it's so that other people can at least get a glimpse into what it's like to be weird. And that means telling a lot of my cringeworthy stories that still haunt me to this day, despite the fact that all other parties have long since forgotten what happened. In second grade, a few months after I turned 8, I was on the bus to go home from school. We had moved from Portland, Oregon to Billings, Montana in January of that year, and I don't know exactly when this interaction took place, but likely sometime in March or April. So I'm on the bus, and we're waiting to depart. Me, an ornery, highly functioning, above average intelligence boy, didn't really know how to interact with these kids. Things were on my mind, and so I just decided to speak what was on my mind. There was another boy, either third or fourth grade, on the bus that was short for his age. I'd seen him around, and I didn't know who he was, but I figured he was probably in first grade, because my left of normal mind said anyone shorter or smaller than me was younger than I was. This boy, his name was John, I remember that, and he had a Spitfire attitude. Very feisty. He was loud, obnoxious, and a little bit of a temper. Sitting a couple rows ahead of me, he was chatting with his friends, and I was most likely staring at him because that's what I did. I stared, and my mind went off to 100,000 different places. He noticed I was staring and he stopped what I was saying, and I don't remember if he asked me what I wanted or just looked at me, and I just looked at him and confidently and matter-of-factly stated, "I'm smarter than you." Of course, this wasn't met with my expected, "Yeah, you are, you're older than I am." Instead, he went off on how he was older than I was, and probably smarter than I was, got very indignant, and shouted, and went off on whatever I'm a fourth grader hoot, holler, and yell. And I just kind of shrank. I messed up, and I knew it. And he calmed down a little bit, and he looked at me, and he said, "I bet you don't even know how to spell John." To which I smugly replied, "Of course I do. After all, my dad's name is John." I said, "It's J-H-O-N, and completely messed up the easiest spelling in the world. That set him off even more, bouncing around, telling me I'm stupid, going on, and I didn't even realize that I spelled it wrong. He corrected me, put me in my place, and I was mortified because I knew I was wrong, and so I did what every other second grader would do. I lied. I said, "Well, that's the way my dad spells it. His name is John, too." And then it was just, like, super weird. I didn't apologize because, in my mind, I didn't do anything wrong. But he calmed down and he said, "Oh, I guess there's different ways to spell it." And then just went back to interacting with his friends like nothing had happened. He moved on literally seconds after this whole thing took place. And it's been over 30 years since that interaction, and I still replay it in my mind all the time. I still wonder why I acted like that, how I could have done it differently, and what had inspired me in the first place to berate this kid that I didn't even know. So, first of all, John, if you're out there and you remember this interaction, I apologize for being a little shit, but not for how my brain works. This may seem like just a couple kids interacting on the bus. It might seem just a totally normal thing for a couple of 8 to 10 year olds to do. But it sparked a realization with how I think and how my thoughts transform into actions and words. I realized that kids just played with each other. Words came out, interactions happened, and nobody put a whole lot of thought into what was going on. It seemed to be seamless when looking at how other kids did it, but for me, I bet I looked at John at least a dozen times over the course of more than a month and continually thought about how I was smarter than he was. Eventually, it was, to me, the appropriate thing to say to him. And it's the first instance that I can remember that just saying what I quote-unquote knew to be correct wasn't the best thing to say. It wasn't how other normies did it, and it threw everything out of control. I expected it to just happen, and then my pre-planned, pre-programmed response was completely thrown off, and I had to try to improvise to get my way out of it, and I messed that up as well. And so, from then on, it was a constant analysis of social interactions. It was a constant judgment call of whether I should speak or not. And without knowing the guidelines that normies followed, that they follow instinctively without really being told how they're supposed to act, I had two choices. One, I could continue to blunder along and put my foot in my mouth, or I could shut up. And I chose the latter. I retreated into the shell that so many people have tried to force me out of, so I could observe and hopefully understand before getting myself into trouble. So over the years, it's worked out for better and for worse. Sometimes it's good to be quiet. Other times, like when we get into some of the college years, I've actually been docked a grade point because I wasn't talkative enough. So in our next episodes, I have a handful of personality traits, characteristics that I've developed over the years in direct response to really not knowing how to interact. They're largely defensive and essential for survival until I had human behavior figured out a bit more, and I could put on an act and play the part of a normie. So, when you talk to me and you see me and you label me as the quiet one, there's a very good reason for that. It's because I'm constantly analyzing what the situation calls for and what my words should be in that particular instance. So, as usual, I would love it if you gave me some feedback on this. I want to know how I'm doing, if you find any of this beneficial, if you find any of it unbeneficial. And as always, let's get to know each other through the Facebook community group. That's facebook.com/group/leftofnormalcommunity. Join up, whether you're left of normal or you're a normie. We want to all work together so we can all make more sense of life. Thanks for listening.